Good morning again. You guys all right? Doing okay? You alive? All right, good to see you. It's wonderful to see you all here today. And have you guys ever heard the expression, you can't see the forest for all the trees? Anyone ever heard that? It's an expression we use, a lot of times they use it like in a work context or wherever, but it's also greatly applies to life. What it means is that when you're in the middle of a forest, sometimes you can't see the big picture, you can't see what's going on because of all the trees around you. And so in life, that translates to sometimes we can't see the big picture of life. We can't maybe even know where we're going or what's happening or which direction we're traveling in or even, you know, whatever, because of all the issues, all the things in life that happen to us, the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and just the sheer number of happenings in our lives, whether it's events, whether it's relational, whether it's financial, whether it's physical. Whatever it is, and some of them can be good. You know, sometimes there's just so much stuff happening. Some of it's good, some of it's neutral, some of it's bad, that we're just like, I don't even know where I'm at. There's a good word picture that I really like that goes along with this, and it's in The Hobbit. I don't know how many of you guys have read The Hobbit or seen the movies. If you've seen the movies, read the book. The movies, my goodness, I don't know what happened. First one was okay, second one was decent, and the third one's like, I don't even know. Okay, that's just coming from reading the book. So I encourage you to read the books. They're pretty good. But in The Hobbit, you know, they start out, they're a group of some dwarves and a hobbit, and Gandalf is their mighty guide, and their whole goal is to go and find or go to this mountain, get rid of this big dragon, and reclaim what was theirs. So there's hordes of treasure and all this stuff, and they're pretty excited about it, and they're pretty sure that, you know, their little companions can go and take on this dragon and take him out. Although I think part of their plan was, let's just show up and see what happens, right? So they go on this journey, and part of the journey they ended up, it's just full of danger and peril, and they're traveling miles and miles. There's all these ups and downs, and including going through this big mountain that's just infested with goblins, and they almost die when they're in the middle of the mountain, but they get out on the other side, and that's kind of where we find them. So on the other side of the mountain, they got this journey they got to go on. They just stayed at this guy's house named Bjorn, and they're kind of talking about the next part of their journey, which happens to be through this forest called Mirkwood Forest. And so they're in part of the discussion when they're at Bjorn's home. This is how Bjorn describes it. But your way through Mirkwood is dark, dangerous, and difficult, he said. Water is not easy to find there, nor food. In there, wild things are dark, queer, and savage. So he's kind of giving them this picture like, you're about to go into this forest, and it's just this dark, dreary place. Oh, by the way, good luck with that. You know, and so they go off, and they get to the edge of the forest, and their fearless leader, Gandalf's with them, and he's like, okay, we have to go here, and Bilbo's like, can we go around? He's like, no, we got an expiration date on this whole, you know, trip we're going on, and so we got to go through because we can't go around to take too long. And so, and by the way, Gandalf says, I'm leaving, so have fun. So he tells them to go into this forest, and they kind of start off, and they're relatively, you know, upbeat, because they've had some travel. They kind of are a little bit travel-hardened, but they get into the middle of this forest, and it's just nuts. It gets dark. This the oppressiveness of the weight of what's going on, and I'll just read you. This is the description. It was not long before they grew to hate the forest as heartily as they had hated the tunnels of the goblins, and it seemed to offer less hope of ever ending. But they had to go on and on, long after they longed for the sight of the sun in the sky and the feel of the wind on their faces. There was no movement of air down under the forest roof, and it was everlastingly still, dark, and stuffy. Welcome to 2021. No? Yeah? For a lot of us, that's kind of what it feels like, right? It's like this never-ending, oh man, there's nothing in, how do we get out of this? I don't even know where I am. There's so many things going on. Stuff's coming so fast in our lives. Once again, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, so much stuff's happening. We can just be like, I don't even know what's going on. When is this going to end? You know, it was interesting how early on in the pandemic, a lot of people were like, oh, a couple weeks, you know, then it went to a couple months, and then everyone's like, oh, I don't know, okay, maybe 7-8 months, oh, I don't know anymore. Not too many people are predicting anything anymore in regards to that, and it just kind of feels like that, right? It feels like we're in the middle of this thing, and it's not just the pandemic, but there's just, life seems to be accelerated on so many levels. We feel like we're in the middle of Mirkwood, and it's dark, it's dreary, it's stuffy, and we're suffocating. All right, I'm done. Let's go. Just kidding. But wait, there's more. Wonderful thing about the God we serve is that he is a God of hope. And today, I want to talk about an everyday hope and an extraordinary God. And when I say everyday hope, I'm not just talking about like a hope that's just kind of, you know, it's just like an everyday normal hope. I mean a hope that is every day. Every day we have access to hope. Even if we're in the middle of Mirkwood Forest, even if we have no clue which direction we're going, we don't even know if we're on the trail anymore, we don't know anything about what's going on around us that's sure or stable that we can put our finger on and say, this is it! Even if we're in the middle of that, there's still hope. And that's the mighty God we serve, the extraordinary God we serve. And we've been journeying through the book of Acts. And the last couple of weeks, we've talked about Paul, who was Saul at the time, and he had the Damascus Road experience, which you saw a little bit in the video there, too. But he has this experience with God, and it radically changes his life. And we talked about the lordship of Christ, you know, giving everything that you are to God. Because Jesus is not just our Savior, he's our Lord and Savior. So we talked about, you know, we have to lay it all down for him. That's what he's calling us to. And then we talked about the next step was the fear of the Lord. You know, what does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to allow him to rule and reign in our lives where we see God and we're just in awe of who he is? And it's not afraid as in, oh, don't beat me. You know, it's afraid as in, oh, I'm undone. It's like, wow, I don't even know what to say. It's that wordless, you know, you can't say anything when you really encounter the presence of God. So today, I want to look at a couple of stories that really, for me, just bring about that everyday hope. In these two stories, we see this extraordinary God working in everyday circumstances to bring this everyday hope. Starts in Acts 9, verse 32. This is a first story about Aeneas. I'll just read it to you. As Peter traveled about the country, so we've shifted actually from the conversion of Saul, now we're shifting back to Peter. So we did a lot of Peter at the beginning, and now we got Saul, and now he's, you know, he got worked over pretty good. Kind of the 2x4 up the head kind of thing. And now we're going back to Peter. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. That's just an interesting story to me. It's like Peter was just traveling about and he found this dude, you know. Now, the implication was that he's probably part of the believers at that time in that area, you know. So it wasn't like he's just walking across, you know, and then all of a sudden the guy's laying there. Well, maybe it was. I don't know. But it's like this everyday normal situation of Peter just traveling around. He's just kind of doing his thing. He's serving the Lord. And he has this encounter with somebody. And he speaks to him. And an extraordinary God moves in power in this man's life. And another thing I like about the story is that this guy, in comparison to the next one we'll read, but this guy, he did nothing. He's just laying there for 8 years on a mat. There's nothing he did of value to make him valuable or to earn what Jesus did to him. Nothing. It's just an everyday, ordinary day, he's laying there on his mat and he's thinking, here I am again. You know, who knows? Maybe he was trying to see doctors. Maybe he had people praying for him. I have no idea. We don't know all of those. But we do know that Peter showed up and the extraordinary power of our God healed him and brought hope. What's really cool is when it says, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord, or Sharon. So all these people, they see what happens. They see this like, that's a miracle. This guy's been down for 8 years, and he gets up, and he's walking. And it brings hope to everybody. So everyone else around there, all these people who now are turning towards the Lord, as it says, you know, we don't hear anything about them. They just go about their everyday normal lives again, but now for many of them, there's a new hope. They're like, an extraordinary God is here in our everyday lives, bringing everyday hope. And that's what we see. See a guy who can't do anything to earn his healing, get healed, and the hope of Jesus Christ floods into an area. The next one's similar with a few differences. Verse 36. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated as Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time she became sick and died. and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydia, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to a room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothes that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards a dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa. And when the people believed in the Lord, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So, okay, this isn't an everyday occurrence, right? Someone being raised from the dead. I get that. But it's still, we see this story of a woman who's just doing good. She's just living her life. She is a believer. She's doing things for the kingdom. She's using her skills in everyday life just to move along. If she hadn't have died, like if this situation had happened, we'd have never known it. And I just wonder how many people out there, unsung heroes, people who are doing stuff like this, just serving their life, or serving the Lord in everyday life, you know, would be around her that we didn't hear about. Probably many. So she gets sick. We never would have heard about her. But then she gets healed. She gets raised from the dead. And I think what's really cool is this story is so obvious that the people around her, they cared about her. You know, the widows who were showing them the clothes were most likely showing the ones on them that she had made for them. So she was deeply affected the people there in this community. So God was already bringing hope through her. But then she dies. And once again, that's an everyday occurrence in the sense that, like, death happens, right? We're all going to end up there someday. And so there's mourning. There's sadness. So they're thinking, what do we do? And one of the interesting things about this is that the previous stories we read about, you know, Saul becoming Paul, being converted, is that involved all kinds of messengers and dreams and double dreams to confirm what was going on. This was just a couple of dudes who were like, hey, Peter's in the next town, so we're going to hoof it over there. It was like two people who just decided in a very ordinary way, we're going to run over and try to find some way to, if Peter could do something for this person, right? So it's this ordinary thing. There's this relational context going on. As people are caring for one another. And it's not as Damascus Road experience, which I think this is where most of us live. We live in an everyday, ordinary, you know, I don't know, maybe you guys get dreams and visions all the time. I don't. Usually if it's a dream or a vision, it's like, I don't know, you know those ones where you're running and someone's chasing you and you're moving this slow and they're going, and you're sure they're going to catch you, you know? Yeah, or you fall off a cliff and you're about to hit and all of a sudden you wake up and you, and then your wife's like, what? And you're like, what? And you know, right? That's the dreams I have, okay? So, but they send these two guys off. They go, they get Peter, and Peter comes and he heals her and she gets raised from the dead. And once again, though, it's the extraordinary power of an extraordinary God showing up in a moment that brings hope to the people around him. Many people believed in the Lord. The similarity. Many people believed in the Lord. So we see this, these occurrences in life, and I'm not saying that these things can't happen. In the sense of a person who's been laying on a mat for 8 years gets up and walks, or someone being raised from the dead. I am a firm believer that those level of miracles can happen. But what more likely happens in our lives is that we receive a spiritual healing. And an inner, you know what I'm saying? It's like people get raised from the dead. I think sometimes we go, I want to see a miracle. And then someone we know gets saved, and we're like, oh, hey, that's cool. That's a miracle. As great as someone being raised from the dead, because they are spiritually now alive. And that's the everyday hope that I feel like God's bringing to us. I don't know if all the trees are going to disappear. I don't know how long we're going to be in Mirkwood together. No clue. May not go. And the hope that God brings is not that, hey, I'm going to plow all these trees out and you're going to see sunshine and lollipops and rainbows. You know, that's not what he's saying. He's saying in the midst of the Mirkwood forest, when you have no clue where you're at and you're discouraged and despair, that I will be there with you. And he may light it up. He's more than capable of letting his light shine. But maybe in the midst of that, he's just going to show himself strong through you so that you continue that journey and you bring hope because of the hope that's in you to people around you. An everyday hope that we have as we serve an extraordinary God. It's just really cool how through these things that the church grows. The extraordinary power of the gospel, of the message of God showing up in people's lives. Don't many of you know, about a month ago, I was up in Canada attending my sister's funeral, and it's interesting to me. I'm thinking about, you know, Tabitha being healed, raised from the dead. Like, my sister didn't get healed, nor did she get raised from the dead. But I remember sitting with her before she passed away. We're sitting and just having a conversation, and it was astounding to me, the presence of the Lord in the room. I was just talking with Pastor Joe before we came up here. You know, it's like, like if we're going to go, like, now would probably be a good time because this is kind of tough. But I remember her saying that, you know, it's like she's looking at, one of the things I'm not going to miss is this whole COVID and everything that's going on. And she's like, I'm not going to miss that at all. So she's kind of glad. But yet she was also like looking at her grandkids running around and she's like, I'm going to miss this. But what was astounding to me is the hope she still had. No matter what happened, whether God healed her or not, she had hope. And there was one time where she's playing a song. We're listening to a song that she wanted played at her funeral. So it was me and her husband, Cliff, and she's there, and she's listening. it's kind of funny. But so you could feel the presence of the Lord. You know what I mean? We're all like, you know, it's like, because we're playing a song she's going to play at her funeral. She's listening to it. But her face, I mean, physically, she was swollen, like all her glands are swollen. She couldn't hear very well. She couldn't see. She wasn't producing any saliva. She couldn't eat, couldn't talk hardly. You know, she was a mess. But the presence of the Lord, it's like, she just looks so beautiful. And that was because of the hope. And it was really funny because we're listening to the song and we're sitting there, and then her husband, Cliff's like, he wanted to make, because we were listening to it for the funeral, right? And he's like, dear, and she looks at him and goes, shh. It just cracked me up, but it was so funny. It's like, don't miss this moment. But it was really, really amazing to see that, to see God in the middle of my sister's struggle, to see her body completely saturated with cancer, and yet in the middle of that, people around her were coming and they were receiving hope because of Jesus Christ. There was an extraordinary God was still manifesting himself in that situation to bring an everyday hope. It was really cool. Relationships that had been destroyed for years were restored. Relationships that were kind of, you know, just meh, moved forward and were strengthened. New friendships were formed. And we see this hope in everyday life. And it's only because of Jesus Christ. So once again, I don't know how long this is going to go. And I'm not promising you that it's going to get any easier. I'm not promising there's not going to be more trees coming in and that it's just going to get thicker and darker. I haven't a clue. I hope not. That's not how I'm praying. You know, like with my sister, she was fighting till the end. She didn't resign to say, oh, I'm out, take me. You know, right to the very end, we were believing that she would be healed in a miraculous way. Because there's hope, no matter how dark it gets. There's always hope. I'd like to read this psalm to you. Another thing that, you know, I've talked about it a couple weeks ago, but one of your go-tos has got to be Scripture. And I know just over my years, walking with the Lord and talking about the psalms, sometimes, you know, you can read the psalms and you're like, is all they do is whine? It's just whining all the time. It's like, David, shut up. You know, that's kind of how I took them for a long time. But the last couple of years, I don't know, but it's just like I sit there and I read the Psalms and I hear David and his cries to the Lord or whoever's writing the Psalm. And it's always this declaration of hope in the midst of despair. Not always, but a lot of the time. It's like, I don't know what's going on. You know, this trail goes on forever. I don't know, Lord. Take me now. I'm done. Let's wrap this sucker up. And this is obviously a paraphrase. This is the John Vruway translation. So, you know, don't like make a study Bible out of this translation. But that's basically what he says a lot of the time. This stinks. But God, you are still God. And so I just encourage you in these days to draw your hope from Jesus Christ. Let's read this psalm. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from here, from there? Have you guys asked yourself in the last few days or in the last 2 years, like, help? Where is it coming from? How's this going to end? That's an okay question. It's an okay question to pose to God. It's like, does my help come from here, from there? Where is my help coming from? Well, verse 2 answers that. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. The answer for all eternity to where your help comes from is the Lord Jesus Christ. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. Drink that one in. The Lord himself. He talks about how he watches over Israel. So like this big people group. But then it's like this you is singular. He watches over you and you and you. He watches over you. That's awesome. The Lord himself. No stand between. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. So he watches all people, including you. He is here now, up close and personal. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. 24/7 protection. Sweet. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. Now, when it says all harm, that doesn't mean that, once again, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Obviously, 2021, right? But in the midst of Mirkwood Forest, he's there with you. That's what it means, is that on the other side of it, we have hope that we win, right? No matter what happens, we win. Live or die, we win. Jesus Christ is with us. He loves us. He cares for us. He's walking with us. And that's what gives us our hope. Not anything else. It's that he is with us in the midst of hardship, and he's with us in the midst of joy and celebration. I think the way we can really have true joy in times like this is only with the hope of Jesus Christ. So even in the middle of something that's hard and heavy, we can still have joy. We can still be like, ha, ha, in your face, Satan. True story. You are kept safe, not in the sense that you will never suffer adversity, but that you will go through adversity and not be crushed. That's, I believe, from Timothy Keller, talking about that line. Then the last, the Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forevermore. So 24/7, from here to eternity, he is with you no matter what. So I want to ask you for a second. I'd just like you to close your eyes. And I just want to read this psalm and just let it settle. Let it settle in your heart. And then I'd encourage you to look it up in your Bible, Psalm 121, whatever version you want, and just read it this week. But just let this settle in your soul. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and you go, both now and forevermore. Lord God, I pray this week that you would instill in us a sense of everyday hope, that every day we can look to you. Every day we can lift our eyes and see Jesus Christ is with us. God, you are awesome. You are amazing. Your name is above every other name. There's nothing that compares with you. There's nothing that can withstand you. Your plans will never be thwarted, Lord God. You are majestic and loving and powerful and gracious. Not only are you willing to heal, but God, you are capable of healing. Not only are you willing to walk with us through adversity, God, you are capable of keeping us safe and walking with us so that we come out on the other side, closer to you. God, I speak hope into everyone here. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive hope. Receive the power of the Holy Spirit to empower you to walk in his ways, to love him well, and to love the people around you well. Receive it in Jesus' name. I thank you for each person here. And I pray, Lord God, that you would cover us and protect us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.